Welcome, everyone. Thank you so much for your time joining us today. My name is Lina Campbell, and I am associate with the Healthcare Investment Banking team at J.P. Morgan. It's my great pleasure to introduce the company team with us today. We have Richard Adcock, the President and CEO, and David Sacks, the CFO. Passing it to you. Thank you.
Thank you all for being here today, and thank you for giving me the chance to introduce ImmunityBio to you and answer some questions along the way. In today's presentation, let me make sure I push the right button. Forward-looking statements here, everybody's familiar with. In today's presentation, we're gonna really exclusively focus on Anktiva, and really, why is Anktiva the backbone, and we believe not just of our platform, but across all immunotherapy, what we call Immunotherapy 2.0. When you look at this, and I'll start as we look at this, Anktiva, we believe, is really the foundational cytokine to overcome tumor evasion. A really important and big statement, but if you look at this today as an oncologist, what they'll do is they'll measure with a simple CBC, what is the red blood cells, what is the white blood cells? They measure the lymphocytes, but there's really nothing they can do. For the red blood cells, they can give them Epogen for, you know, neutrophils, they can give them Neupogen, but there's nothing available for them to be able to handle and deal with the leukocytes. And this is really important. Anktiva, we believe, will be recognized as the first product with the approval that we had in the last for our bladder indication, but across all tumor types, we'll be able to impact this. And that's really a big, new, important strategy and an important impact into this market space. And it's important, first and foremost, at least this is to our knowledge, the first molecule that does this, because it not only allows you to replace those lymphocytes, but it allows them to be able to kill the tumor. It allows you to be able to take and make cold tumors hot, as we work through those, and it does this by the proliferation of natural killer cells, CD8 killer T cells, the CD4 T cells, and most importantly, the memory T cells. All of that's literally right out of our approved FDA label, so it's not a claim outside of those. It's what we're already approved for in these. Another really important facet on here is on the left side of the page here, is beyond overcoming lymphocyte depletion, is overcoming MHC-1 loss. And that's really the product that, that's really the fact that is helpful in really taking a cold tumor to make it hot again. And that converting that cold tumor to hot is really one of the biggest things that you see with Anktiva on those. And it does all this again, if you look at the right side of the page, by the activation and proliferation of the natural killer cells, the CD8 killer T cells, and the memory T cells. So as we look at this, it's really Anktiva is a backbone and to Immunotherapy 2.0, and this is really beyond checkpoints. We think checkpoints were a really important breakthrough in immunotherapy, and so we're not taking away from any of that. But Anktiva really is this next generation that comes through here. This is a universal cancer immunotherapy across all tumor types. And as you look down the right-hand side there, you see that Anktiva plus BCG is already approved. The next one, where we're in the process of delivering, and you'll hear today, and we're actually just issuing a press release right now, and I'll make some announcement here, is what we're doing with Anktiva plus checkpoints. Anktiva plus our adenovirus, which is the work that we're doing in Lynch syndrome, which impacts one in every 200 Americans. Anktiva plus Rituxan, which is the work that we're doing in NHL. Anktiva plus CAR T and CAR NK, and last but definitely not least, is our Anktiva plus M-ceNK. And this backbone effect that we've created with Anktiva really allows us to move immunotherapy forward in a very, very profound way. And this was done by Dr. Soon-Shiong and the entire team at ImmunityBio by focusing on Anktiva, but focusing on platforms within the companies. And Anktiva is the first of those inside of our fusion protein platforms. We really do believe that we have the potential for Anktiva to serve as that foundational cytokine for that universal cancer immunotherapy, and that's really one of the biggest impacts that we're gonna see. So today, what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about what are we doing in bladder, and specifically, how we got approved with bladder cancer in the CIS space, for BCG unresponsive. That happened earlier in 2024, but as we sit here today, now we already have our J-code for J9028 approved in there, which really helps with the billing and the revenue recognition for physicians on those. We filed for our UK MHRA submission in November of last year, and so that's under validation and beginning the review process with those authorities. And then December of 2024, we indicated that we would, and we did, in fact, submit for our EMA European filing as well. But today we're here to talk about what we're doing with bladder cancer in the papillary setting. As part of our registrational trial that we did where we got our CIS approval, we also ran papillary. And what I'm proud to tell everybody here today is that we've met with the agency and that they've indicated that we should be submitting a supplemental BLA to be filed in 2025 for that. To put that in perspective, it's about three times the size of the market. And so with our current approval and now this supplemental approval, the market continues to get bigger at each step along the way. And the next stage of bladder is, what are we doing in naive? When we started bladder, we started in doing both the unresponsive as well as the naive. But what we asked physicians to do was to really focus on that unresponsive market because we knew we would be able to move faster in that market space through the regulatory process. As soon as we completed that process, we put all efforts and attention on completing and filling out our BCG naive trial. And so that trial is currently enrolling. It was registered and enrolling patients in the United States. In 2024, we took that trial global. We have many sites globally, and we're adding many more sites throughout Europe and throughout the United States as well. In 2024, there was an interim analysis that was asked by the FDA for us to be completed, and we'll talk about that as well. Outside of bladder, what we would describe as the next most exciting and incredibly large market is, what are we doing with Anktiva in the lung checkpoint failure, specifically second-line non-small cell lung cancer? And another announcement that I'm making today is that we are proud that after meeting with the agency, we have a BLA planned to be filed in that indication in 2025 as well. So not just one, but two BLAs planning to be filed in 2025, both for Anktiva. So now we'll be in both the intravesical delivery, as we are with bladder, as well as intended for the sub-Q for lung. Incredibly exciting times at Immunity Bio. Moving on to the cancer vaccine. This is work that we're doing. This is actually a trial that is sponsored by the NIH and NCI for Lynch syndrome. Lynch impacts one in every 200 Americans around the world. And really what it does is, you see it is a cancer prevention trial, and its goal is to, how do you reduce the threats and risk of colon cancer. The NIH and NCI did their own independent analysis and then approached Immunity Bio and asked us if we would be interested in partnering with them to do this. This trial is ongoing, and it uses Anktiva plus what we call our triad, which is our second-generation adeno vaccine technologies. It's our MACH-1, CEA, and brachyury. We have over 100 patients already enrolled in this. It's very exciting, and we look forward to seeing this progress. This will be the first cancer prevention for colon cancer and others in this for patients that have the genetic predisposition with Lynch syndrome. Further down the road, we have prostate, again, working with the urologist, all of the excitement that built up around Anktiva in bladder. We've worked with them and have already done trials in this one, and we'll be adding more clinical trials to this in 2025. And last but definitely not least is Anktiva in the NHL liquid tumor market, Anktiva plus rituximab. So if you look across this, as we describe Anktiva as a backbone from left to right, you see Anktiva, 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 Anktiva across the way through those. But if you take one thing away from this, it is that there are two new BLAs that are planned to be submitted in 2025. All right, so now let's go deeper into some of these with those. As it relates to bladder cancer, so we talked a little bit about this. Our current approval is set for a CR rate of 62% with an N of 77. That's what is in the FDA-approved label. That's what's been submitted to the UK MHRA. In our New England Journal paper was an N of 82 patients, and that has a 71% complete response a durable complete response rate. For our European submission, our EMA submission, this is an N of 100. This is for all 30 countries in Europe that we've already submitted that, and you again see a 71% complete response rate. So an incredibly strong response, and more than just a response, a durable complete response. People talk about response rate a lot, and I think response rate is very important, but what do patients really feel? Duration. And if we all talked about duration, that's what is most important. It's most important in medical economics because that's what they're effectively paying for, but it's most important to people, to patients, to families, because they want to know when they get a treatment that it actually lasts. It's not important for just to have an initial reaction, but it's important that you get it and you're able to stay with that. In this case, Anktiva is clearly best in class of the approved as well as what's coming up on some of the other ones out there. So you see from left to right a 9.7-month, a 16.2-month right out of their labels, out of the Immunity Bio Anktiva label. It's 47 months and ongoing with a median not yet reached. I can tell you, and we've presented this elsewhere, that our European filing, the N of 100 for Anktiva, it's 54 months and ongoing response. So you see the efficacy continue to get stronger, but you also see the response rate continue to grow in length. And that's really why we have so much excitement about it. It's why physicians have so much excitement about this as well. Safety profile, I won't go through all of these. You've all seen lots of ISI and other statements on those. The way I always think about it, Anktiva is very consistent and comparable to BCG alone, which physicians and urologists have been delivering for 4+ decades, and they're very comfortable doing that one. And as we work with physicians, that's what they tell us. We understand BCG, we know how to deliver that, and we're happy with the safety profile. So we've had a very successful initial first 6 months of our launch. We first started with it. We got it approved at the end of April. We had a very big launch at AUA, literally 2 weeks after our FDA approval. It was very fortunate for the American Urological Association to bring all of the urologists together from around the United States and around the world for us to be able to launch Anktiva. We appreciated that. Joking aside, it was a great piece. Dr. Patrick Soon-Shung was able to do a fireside chat at AUA with Dr. Sam Chang, and really it was a standing room only and answer a lot of questions for folks. That is online, and if you haven't seen it, I would highly encourage you to. In May, we also received our NCCN guidelines. And most importantly right now, what practices have been asking for, and we are now seeing new practices come online on a daily basis, is really that J-code. That gives physicians, that gives practices, not just billing certainty, but it lets them know that they're going to get paid faster. Because if you bill with a generic J-code, you can still get paid. It's just that they manually hand adjudicate all of those claims. And so what, instead of taking something 4 weeks to get paid for, can take you 4 months or whatever the process is. And that's just the difference in those. And if you keep it that simple, that's really the best way of thinking about it. And for them, that matters on those. We also set out and did both global submissions that we said we would do in the time frame that we did. The right-hand side, though, I think is something I'm incredibly proud of our market access team. When you start, often what people wait for is for you to get your CMS HCPCS code. The old saying is, so goes CMS, so goes the rest of the industry. Well, before we had our J-code, our formal HCPCS J-code, we already had 240 million medical lives with policies in place. And that's with the Blues, that's with Kaiser, that's with Humana, Cigna, all of the bigs through those. And as our medical team was presenting what is really the power of Anktiva to the different insurers, and I was in several of those meetings, what I can tell you, the number one thing the insurers would ask about, duration. Tell us really what this story of duration is, because this is a drug that goes on so long, and we saw even longer duration in your earliest patients on those, where you reported that you actually had patients that were 8.5 and 9 years out on those. That's what has insurance companies asking about it, because when they pay for a drug, they want to know that it works and has that ability to last, and that's that real memory T-cell effect that you're seeing come over and over again on it. So when we work with physician practices, and you do this, and I've spent my entire career working with physician practices, the more innovative that you bring something out, often you're completely asking them to change their life. throw their life upside down, rearrange the way they do everything in their practice. Anktiva's approval and partnering with BCG or combining with BCG is just the opposite. You get all of the innovation, but they literally don't change anything. It's a one-day delivery. We've got 3-year shelf life. There's no special freezers that are required with that, no special cleaning agents, no change in the workflow, and it's the same ordering workflow. I can tell you I've personally been out on sites, and it's often the BCG nurse or the nurse practitioner who's delivering that will come up to me and say, thank you. I've been delivering BCG for 15 years. I didn't have to do anything other than just admix Anktiva to it. Everything else from the syringe to the catheter, the hold time is all the same. All right, moving on from the approval to now the new one in papillary. On here, as I indicated before, that we will be filing a supplemental BLA. And why this is a supplement, it's not an entire new BLA that has to be done. It's the existing BLA we just did. The first one was in CIS with and without papillary. Now this will be as papillary alone. It's about 3 times, to keep it in round numbers, the size of the market. So Anktiva plus BCG and the unresponsive papillary market. If you look at this, it's 72 evaluable patients in that one. The primary endpoint was met. The disease-free rate at 12 months was 55.4%. At 18 months, it was 51.1%. At 24 months, it was 48.3%. But this is, and again, it's another one, as I've had the privilege of traveling with our sales team and others, what physicians are talking about, we've moved to an age of cystectomy preservation. And these are surgeons that were trained to actually say, I've got cancer, let me remove your bladder so that it doesn't go any further. Physicians around the country, whether it's at some of the most notable institutions or in the community, they will always say, this is a new era for us, because the ability to save, if you lose your bladder, it's honestly a horrific event. You're going to have your quality of life is going to be changed for the rest of your life through those. And so when you look at this in the papillary disease and you have a 93% median cystectomy avoidance with a median follow-up of over 20 months, it's really, again, very exciting. The current standard of care for BCG unresponsive in this disease is to remove your bladder. And so this is really a big day, and once we are able to submit this and get hopeful approval on it, that'll be a new impact on those. For us as a company, just offers us more and broader scale across those. And we do intend to submit this BLA in 2025. All of that data I showed you was already peer-reviewed and submitted and published in the New England Journal of Medicine as well. So now, staying in bladder, but moving on to the naive setting, our interim analysis was completed in here. In our QUILT 2005, that's the trial that we got approved. But during that approval process, the FDA called us and said, hey, you have 9 patients that were part of the original phase 1B, which is really a dose escalation and safety finding. Can you tell us what the status was? And the reason is that all 9 actually had a response. Now think about that. In a phase 1, when you have 9 patients that have a response, it's pretty remarkable. And in this case, we went and did that. We worked with the institutions, opened up a new trial, QUILT 205. And in this case, we were able to identify that 2 had passed the disease other than bladder cancer, just, you know, old age. The average age of bladder cancer patient is 73. You get 8 years out, and that's not uncommon. 1 was lost to follow-up, as we were not supposed to be following them after 2 years. But we were able to identify 6 of the 9. So 6 of 6 still had a response now 9.5 years later. This is a really big deal. And the FDA asked us for this data, and part of it was they wanted to see how was the long-term look, and albeit a small population, a really important population to look at. So the conclusion of this, Anktiva plus BCG in the BCG-naive patients results in durable, complete responses with a quality of life and adverse events consistent with BCG alone, but really long-term duration. So with this, we're currently running this trial and have been running this for some time. It's BCG alone, 188 patients in the control arm versus Anktiva plus BCG, same size in those. It's open recruiting. It's live U.S. It's already expanded internationally, and we're adding many. The trial is currently live in India, and we're in the process of going live in many European sites as well. The very last slide on that one is right in the label. Right in our label for our first one, the FDA recommended course of treatment is 36 doses over 37 months. So since we partner with BCG, and there's been a decade-long BCG shortage, one of the things we did immediately following approval was we partnered with the Serum Institute. If you don't know the Serum Institute, they're a vaccine powerhouse. They're the world's largest vaccine producer. They actually are the world's largest BCG producer. They just don't deliver it in the United States on those. And so we, again, here today, I'm ready to announce that we're in discussions with the FDA and have been given regulatory guidance that we are to proceed forward with a market access process under regulatory review in 2025. So in Q1 of this year, we intend to submit with the agency for that, and our hope is to be able to bring this forward for patients to really help alleviate this ongoing problem that's persisted in the United States and, quite honestly, around the world for over a decade. So moving on past bladder, we're about halfway through our time here, so I'll try to pick it up, is lung cancer. While we are truly excited about what we're doing in bladder, it's important for people to know we're not a bladder-only company. We're an Anktiva company. We're an immunotherapy company. Bladder happens to be the first one we're doing in, and we're proud of what we're doing in there. We're proud to be able to continue to expand that. But lung cancer using Anktiva represents an absolutely huge, huge market for us. This, again, as I just said, we have a planned BLA filing in 2025, which would be quite a remarkable piece for us. Now, before I go into that, if you look at what oncologists, and this was in the 2024 ASCO paper, at ASCO, what oncologists were talking about was that one of the impending problems is checkpoint failure, because so many people have had checkpoints, and checkpoints are very good, so I'm not saying anything other than that. They're very positive, but when they fail, it's where are you going to go with this? And now with this one here, for non-small cell lung cancer, second-line standard of care after progressing on those is chemotherapy. And you're going to get somewhere less than 10 months. We've seen it as low as 6 months. We've seen it 9 months, somewhere in that range. The treatment options are limited. The NCCN themselves do not recommend giving additional checkpoint after checkpoint failure. And the trial that we're running is again showing where we can take, this is our Quilt 3055. This is a trial we have already run that was taking checkpoint failure patients, giving them the same checkpoint plus Anktiva, and we were able to convert cold tumors to a hot tumor, and again, just as I said at the very beginning, overcome that lymphocyte depletion, overcome MHC1 loss. You see the triangle offense, as Dr. Sun Chung refers to it, of natural killer cells, CD8 killer T cells, and the memory T cells delivered by Anktiva, and have really a very strong response on those. Our Quilt 3055, we reported a 14.1-month overall survival in patients that had, you know, typically would have much less than that. We have a planned BLA submission in this based on the N of 83 with a confirmatory trial already running. So Rescue 201A is our non-small cell lung cancer that, following the strength of that trial, we've already run that one. It is a study designed of Anktiva plus checkpoint. Along the way, the endpoint is median overall survival in our 3055, where we had 14.1 months, 24 patients still on study. Really important to note on those. The second point down there as the results are, this impacts both the PD-L1 positive and negative. We actually saw an overall survival in the negative patients, which many times you just cut that out, is 15.8 months, so even stronger than that. So we're able to rescue both positive and negative, and an overall long-term survival of 33.7% at 18 months and 31.4% at 21 months. The finding of this novel immunotherapy approach really do deliver this and gives patients who have, failed checkpoints, now a new novel approach on those. Back to the slide we talked about with oncologists at ASCO saying, we need to have something here because this is going to be an impending problem for us. All right, so enough on those, but it is important to talk about all of our proprietary platforms and the intellectual property that protects them. We have intellectual property in place, hundreds and hundreds of patents. You can see on our cytokine platforms or Anktiva, we have 245 granted and allowed worldwide. For our DNA vaccine vectors, over 100 granted and allowed worldwide. And for our natural killer cells, over 220. But if you just, again, focus on the Anktiva patents, we have biologic exclusivity in place today that technically goes to 2036. Anktiva plus BCG patents go to 2035, and Anktiva plus checkpoint, which would be used in lung, going to 2035 as well. So with over 700 issued patents worldwide, we feel very strong about our position as a company to be able to provide that intellectual property needed. So a recast of where we were through those with bladder cancer. We're proud of the approval and the launch that we've had on those. With papillary, we're incredibly excited to be able to say that we're going to be submitting a supplemental filing for that BLA, giving us, again, about three times the size market opportunity. The naive one, taking that trial live, really our goal in 2025 is to be able to have full enrollment on those. And then for our recombinant BCG, we will be filing those. So if you stay just in bladder cancer, our J-code is in place today. We have our EMA filing, our MHRA filing in place. We're working on rest of world filings. We're hoping in 2025, we anticipate that those filings for EMA and the UK will yield a full approval. We'll launch at the end of the year, beginning of 2026, and then work towards rest of world approval in papillary, again, a supplemental BLA filing, and then hopefully work into that hopeful approval on that one as well. For lung cancer, because again, it's not just bladder that we're doing, although we're excited about that, that BLA filing and with a hopeful accelerated approval while we do that ongoing randomized trial, ultimately leading to an acceptance of that BLA as well. And then for our cancer vaccine that we're doing in cancer prevention with Lynch syndrome for colon cancer prevention, we'll have a data readout of the first cancer prevention trial that's been done in this one. So 2025 is a year full of big catalysts for Immunity Bio, and so you'll have those to be watching for. And then last but not least, I'd be remiss to not talk about the team here. Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong, truly the founder, the executive chairman. He's the global chief scientific medical officer, truly the visionary who's actively involved daily with this. I have the honor and privilege to serve as the president and CEO for Immunity Bio. Dr. Sender and Dr. Reddy are our two chief medical officers. Dr. Sender really focuses on our natural killer cells and liquid tumors, as well as Dr. Reddy then focuses on solid tumors. Dr. De Leon, Dr. Garlisi, as well as the entire team, and they're a really strong team with a diverse set of backgrounds is what's ultimately leading to this. And with that, I'd maybe open it up to questions.
Thank you so much, Richard. If anyone has any question, please raise your hand. Our team will pass you a microphone. Richard, David, I would like to kick off the Q&A session by asking, regarding the Anktiva launch, what are the physicians' feedback you have heard so far?
Yeah, I'll start in that one. And again, if I flip to this very last slide here with Matt, who heads up our commercial team, as well as Bruce and others, I've had the privilege of being out on site and meeting with many. I've met personally with hundreds of urologists. And the first thing they always start with is how incredibly impressed they are with the clinical results. The clinical results are undeniable, but they immediately, when you talk to the physicians, go to how no change in workflow, what that allows them to do and implement this inside of their practice. The things they ask for right away is, okay, when are you going to get your J-code? This would have been before January. And talk to us about BCG. Well, we're handling it and we've got this. We've been dealing with BCG for a decade. And so I know they're going to be incredibly excited about this press release and to see that we are following through on what we said we would do.
Thank you, Richard. Another question we received from the portal is, how are you planning to manufacture BCG?
Yeah, so our work with BCG is with the Serum Institute, the world's largest producer of that one. They will manufacture that. What I can tell you is the FDA has already been on site to Serum. Serum produces both global products as well as US FDA products. And the last, at least as reported to me by the Serum Institute, the last U.S. inspection they had 0483, something anybody who runs manufacturing plants would know and be very proud of. The FDA was very complimentary of the quality systems they had in place, and they specifically asked me there, can you just show us where you're going to manufacture Immunity Bio's BCG at? Because they want to look at that. Well, that isn't intended to be the inspection. They said, look, we're here. It's a long way over here. We'd love to be able to see this. And they left that with a great sense of confidence. And so as we've been working with the agency and, you know, truly appreciative of what the agency is doing with this, because they recognize Immunity Bio as part of the solution to a problem that's persisted for the last decade. Because they can't mandate another company to produce more, and it's not as though Merck is not trying to produce more because they've been working at this. But the truth is the only way we're going to get over this problem is by having multiple strains, and that's what everywhere around the world does. And so the answer to your question is that Serum will be the manufacturer of that one, and we will deliver that. Immunity Bio does have a global exclusive for that, so it's not just the United States, but it's truly a global exclusive for Anktiva plus BCG to be able to deliver this around the world.
Thank you, Richard. Before I go through additional questions, any questions from the audience? Okay. My next question is, could you please also help us contextualize the size of the prescriber base that you're targeting for Anktiva?
Yeah. So I'm going to answer the question in really kind of two parts. As you look at the prescriber base, it's predominantly the urologist and uro-oncologist, you know, so it's several thousand in the United States. It's not that oncologists don't see some of these patients, they do, but they almost exclusively hand them over to the urologist. Our sales team, our commercial team is about 50 people, and they're able to approach all of them across the country. Literally, and if you looked inside of our CRM, you see we've talked to almost every one of them already, done multiple presentations, and are now receiving orders through those. The second way I would talk about that to contextualize the market, and that's really what I hear the question asking there, is talk about the physicians, but also talk about how you access the patients. Because in this one here, people start trying to cut it down and cut it down. If you look at BCG unresponsive cysts, this is a disease when you're unresponsive that they are unfortunately just have had to live with up until now. And so while you start saying there's 80,000 patients at the top and it cuts down, it's a disease of both incidence and prevalence. Because this is a disease people live with for multiple years. And so while it's never easy to get a prevalent-based number on those, proximate numbers that we see are around the neighborhood of 20,000 patients as we sit here right now or stand here right now are available in this. So the answer to your question is the target market of physicians is really all of the urologists and uro-oncologists through those, and there's about 20,000 patients just for the cis population, not including the papillary convert population that we just said we're going to be filing BLA for, which is substantially larger as well on those.
Getting into non-small cell lung, then you've got another couple hundred thousand, you know, at least patients a year, right, as an opportunity, and then you're haircutting those by folks that are treated with checkpoints and all that, but the numbers are obviously extremely large moving into the non-small cell lung space.
Yeah, I think that is really important. As I said before, well, we're really committed and focused on urology and bladder treatment of those. We're not a bladder-only company. We are truly an immunotherapy company. And as we submit our a BLA for lung, there's obviously non-small cell lung cancer. Unfortunately, many of us in this room have probably know somebody that's passed of it. Is a very, very large market for us. So Immunity Bio has a lot of opportunity ahead of us here.
Amazing. Thank you, Richard, David. Last question. Could you please share your thoughts with us on the BCG shortage in the United States? And what's your strategy to address this shortage?
Yeah, and it's the one, as I said here today, we intend to submit, we've been working directly with the FDA on this. As soon as we issued the press release saying that we had cut this global exclusive with Serum, they literally reached out to us and said, please work with us. This has been a decade-long problem. We can collaborate and we can find a real path forward that provides both the safety we need as well as the ability to solve this problem in a much more expeditious fashion. Excuse me. And so we are happy to report, as I said, that we will be submitting regulatory documents to be able to handle this market and bring market access of BCG available.
Thank you so much, Richard, and thank you so much for everyone's time today. Thank you all.
Thank you.